Happy Sabbath, Church. It's my privilege being with you today, and thank you, Pastor Jinha, for your kind invitation. I'm glad to visit the first Adventist church built or established in Australia. It's an honor for me. It's a plus. I was not expecting this historical advantage, and I enjoyed being here earlier and visiting some other places around. It's so rich, the history here in Australia. I have decided to preach today about one of the characters that I love in the Bible. There are many heroes in the Bible, right? And each one of us, we have our own heroes, right? I have mine too. Heroes in the Old Testament, heroes in the New Testament. No matter where the characters are, but some of us will relate to some characters. And I bring you the story of the King Josiah this morning. And the message title is, I Have Found the Book. And the text, it is in 2 Kings, chapter 22, verse 8. And it says, then Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. I want to highlight these four words. I have found the book. How many of you experience losing something, missing something precious? I always joke with my wife, Wiliani, that I am expert in losing things and she is expert in finding things. I love that. Keys, for example, wallets, documents. Have you ever experienced traveling somewhere and then you are trying to find your passport? And it's not there. Oh, it is terrible. I was traveling to Nigeria some time ago, and my dear colleague, publishing associate director, he was desperate, calling me from the room. I was about to preach, and he was in the room, said, I am about to leave, and I don't see my passport. Where is my passport? I said, I don't know where you put your passport. So look at your clothes when you saw the passport last time. And he went back, opened his bag again, and he put his hand in the pockets and found the passport. And he shouts on the phone, I found it! I found it! Well, I guess that when people find something precious that was lost, they shout, right? They shout. Because it's a motive of gladness, happiness. I found something. It's joyful. Then when I read this Bible verse, I was just thinking, what was the tone of voice of this scribe writing the story? Or Shaphan and Hilkiah. Hilkiah, the priest, when he found the book, what was his tone of voice announcing, I have found the book, right? Well, somebody can talk. No, Pastor, but books are not so precious that people shout because they found a book. Well, books should be precious. There are 10 benefits of reading that you should read every day. The first benefit is mental stimulation. Our brain is stimulated in a way that we would never be if we don't read. So reading stimulates your brain differently from watching a movie, differently from just scrolling your phone through social media. Reading is different. It stimulates your brains in a different way. Second, reading produces stress reduction, which is amazing. People take medicine for stress, right? So if you read more, you put your stress under control. Third, knowledge, of course. Those who read more, they know more. They get more knowledge. Number four, vocabulary expansion. Well, yeah. If you read more, you have more words to your vocabulary. Number five, memory improvement. The more you read, more memory sharpness you will have. And number six, stronger analytical thinking skills. So if you like to analyze things and thoughts, you need to read more. So you will be stronger in analytical thinking skills. Number seven, improved focus and concentration. So the more you read, more focused you will be, more concentrated you will be. Number eight, better writing skills. Number nine, tranquility. I have mentioned that before. And number 10, it's a low-budget entertainment. So some people, they say, no, you need to purchase books, and books are expensive. No, it's not that expensive as you compare to some other entertainment tickets, like this game that people are packing in the stadium watching. And how much is a ticket to watch a game? How much is a ticket to watch some thing in theater or some other places? So reading is a low-budget entertainment. But some other people will say, look, what is better? Read the book or read on a computer or on a tablet or even on a cell phone? Well, I'm not here to discuss what is the best, but I just want to share with you two authors. The first one is a Canadian author named Alberto Manguel. He wrote this book, A History of Reading, some time ago. And he compares the reading on computer or the image culture established by television and internet. And he said, the current image culture is very superficial. They catch our attention for just a few seconds without giving us a chance to think. And he says, the greatness of the text is that it allows us to reflect and to interpret. The other author is Nicholas Carr, is a North American, is American author, that he wrote What the Internet is Doing to Our Brains, The Shallows, the title of the book. He's not Adventist. I don't know if he's a Christian, but he says something very intriguing. He says, the more distracted, the less able to feel empathy, compassion, and other emotions. For some types of thoughts, especially moral decisions, we need adequate time and reflection. So one of the things that the internet has produced is a generation of people distracted, not focused, people that are not able to feel empathy or compassion, or to have skills to decide, especially on moral issues. So we need adequate time and reflection. Well, considering that about reading, let's go back to our text, 2 Kings 22, verse 8. I have found the book. The priest Hilkiah said to Shaphan, and Shaphan, the scribe, took the book and went to the king, Josiah the king, and read to the king. As he read the book to the king was so impressed that he tore his clothes in signs of sadness and the perspective of Israel or Judah being distracted by disobedience to God. Well, the story of Josiah needs to be understood under a context. I want to bring the context to you. First, Let's go back to his family. He was great-grandson of Ezekiah the king. Ezekiah was a king that reigned for 29 years in Jerusalem. And during that time, the Bible says that he ordered public reading of the book of the law. So he was pro-book, Hezekiah. He ordered that the book would be read to the public every week, every week. So the obedience to the statutes on the book made Hezekiah's reign prosperous. So he was a prosperous king in the same way that he was a king that worshiped God, obeyed God. He was a good king, I would say. He has some episodes in his life that are very outstanding, like when he got ill and he had a few days to die, and the prophet Isaiah said, look, prepare a home, prepare our lives, you are going to die. And he prayed desperately, and God gave him an extra time. And God, to show that he was promising was true, God says, I will make a sign and the sun will go back a couple of hours. And you see, it's amazing. And Hezekiah was that king. Another story about Hezekiah was when Sennacherib, the king of Syria, he threatened Israel to destroy the city, to invade Jerusalem. And Hezekiah said, we will trust in the Lord. And they trust in the Lord. And the angel of God went alone. Only one angel killed more than 180,000 soldiers and defeated Sennacherib's army. And they returned back to Syria, humiliated by just one angel of God that performed that miracle. Hezekiah, the king, was that one. Well, unfortunately, he died, and his son reigned in his place. He took over, and his name is King Manasseh. Hezekiah reigned 29 years, and Manasseh reigned 55 years. And Manasseh is considered the worst king in Israel or Judah's history. Why? Because his time was a time of apostasy. Commandments of God broken. The book, the law, was lost in the temple. He was not pro-book. He was against. And he deprived the people to listen from the book. So people became ignorant in the word of God. And they became easily backsliders. They decided to worship other gods, idols. He built poles and places where people could go to worship gods. He was so idolater that he sacrificed one of his children to God, to one of these gods. So he was able to kill his own boy to please a god. Well, Manasseh, fortunately, at the end of his life, he repented and God forgave him. But the results of his apostasy remained. When he died, his son, King Amon, took over. But he reigned only 2 years. And he was so bad king, so cruel, that people from the streets, the servants in the palace, they decided to kill the boss, to kill the king. And the servants killed the king. And people in the streets, they were so mad about that, they invaded the palace and they killed the servants. So it was crime after crime, violence after violence. In just 2 years of kingdom, in reign, and Amon, he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He was murdered in his own home as a result of a conspiracy led by his own servants. The people killed those who had conspired against him And they established Josiah, his son, as a king. So who was Josiah? Josiah was the son of Amon, the grandson of Manasseh, and the great-grandson of Hezekiah. So when you look at Josiah, 8 years old, what would be your prognosis, your forecast? What would be this boy as a king? What would be the future? If you ask, for example, a psychiatrist or a psychologist to analyze Josiah or his family, what the psychologist would say? No, this boy will not be a good king because his dad was cruel. He was killed because he was cruel. His grandfather was even worse. So what we can expect from that? Well, Josiah became a king. And the story about Josiah is amazing because he was against all the odds. He was not probable. He was somebody who just surprisingly took another turn. And the Bible says that he was only 3 years old when he became king. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. 2 Kings 22, verse 2. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. But this is amazing. When I go deep to Josiah's, the King Josiah, I am surprised. I would not expect a boy like him to become a good king. I was not expecting that. Well, of course, the story of Josiah is not only that definition. He did what was right. This is a definition of his lifetime. Perhaps this was the definition that was on his tomb when he died. He did what was right in the sight of God. But what happened? What was his curse of living since he became king? When you go to 2 Chronicles, you see on the screen here, three steps. In the 80th year of his reign, he was 16 years old. Is anybody here 16 years old? No, not yet. We have some kids, have some babies that one day they will be 16 years old. And some others, they are 16 times 2 or times 3. Right? Yeah. So, when he was only 16 years old, still young, the Bible says, he began to seek the God of his father David. Look, he was a teenager king, all power with him, and instead of following friends or somebody else, he decided to seek God. 4 years later, he was 20 years old, and he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah, poles, and idols. Everything that his grandfather did, he decided to eliminate, to purge. So he was 20 years old. He could be interested in many other things, but he decided to purify the land, to eliminate idols, to prepare the land for just one God, just the only creator of the universe, God, the Father. Yes. But when he was 26 years old, or in his 18th year of reign, he gave orders to purify the land and the temple. That is interesting. So, when the book was found, as a result of the renovation in the temple. So, since then, he met the book. Before them, no book. So Josiah lived 26 years without the book. Only when he was 26 years old, he found the book. That's even amazing, because he was a good king. He did what was right without having the book. Oh, this is intriguing. Many people around us, they are good people. They are good. They are nice neighbors, loving people, colleagues in our workplace. Perhaps they are nice people in the school, and we meet them on the street, we meet them on the airplanes, on the buses, trains. They are there. They are everywhere. People like Josiah, they are good people, but they don't know the word. They are seeking God, but they don't know the word. There are many people seeking God in this world. They do it through different tools. They are seekers. And we cannot define why they are seekers. I don't know. It's a mystery. But there are many seekers around us, like Josiah. And Josiah, finally, he had a meeting, or he had an encounter with the book. And the Bible says that Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, "I have found the book of the law." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. But the book went to Josiah. And Josiah read or heard the book. It is in 2 Kings 22, verse 10 and 11. And when he heard the story in the book, he tore his clothes. Well, let me share about the book with you. Why the book was so intense that produced this impactful reaction. Touring his clothes. Many times when you read a book, you cry, you laugh, right? It is natural. The story is so touching. You cry or laugh. It happens. But I don't recall reading a book and I tore my clothes. You know, tearing clothes at that time represented sadness, a public sadness. A sadness so big is a grief that you show that you are sad to everyone around you. So you tore your clothes. This is the way they would do in that time. But Ellen White says that book reproduces in Josiah's heart this reaction, because he was reading for the first time the book. Look what is written here. It says, Josiah was deeply stirred as he heard read for the first time the exhortation and warning recorded in this ancient manuscript. Never before had he realized so fully the plainness in which God had said before Israel. What book was that? Some commentators said that the book is the book of Deuteronomy, the Old Testament. Of course, they had only the Pentateuch at that time as the Holy Scriptures at that time, only five books. Why Deuteronomy was so decisive? Because Deuteronomy not only presents the law of God, but Deuteronomy presents also promises from God, saying that if you are obedient, you will reap that in your life, that type of fruit in your life. If you are not obedient, you will experience that result. So Deuteronomy presents two ways, two paths, life and death. And Moses, as he wrote the book, he said, please choose life. God, through Moses, said, please choose life, do not choose death. Death abandoned God. Life is a life with God. In summary, the book was about that. And when Josiah heard about the book, he immediately knew that Israel, Judah, was far from God. So he said, the results, we will reap the results, the fruits. That's why he was so sad. After his encounter with the book, I want to just comment some steps that he took. These are impressive and important steps, five steps. The first step I have mentioned already, he tore his clothes, which means sadness, grief for the situation of the whole nation. He was sad, and he was so impressed by the book. And number two, he decided to send messengers to seek guidance from a prophetess. Her name, Huldah. And they went to Huldah, and they told the story to Huldah. Huldah, we found the book of the law, and the king is impressed by the book, and he is afraid of everything that the book forecast. The book said that this will happen, and what you tell us? And she said, yes, everything that is written in the book will happen, but tell the king, because he has a tender heart. This will not happen, or this will happen only when he died, after he died. And they came back to the king and said, Josiah, the prophet said that everything that is written in the book is true, and everything that is the book is forecasting, it will happen. But it will happen only after your death. Don't worry. And Josiah could have thought, okay, good. We are free from the consequences. So let's enjoy life. Let's continue doing things. No. He decided to bring everybody to a commitment. He decided to do that beginning with the leaders. And the next step, number three, Josiah attracted the leadership to a meeting leaders to be obedient. And the leaders accepted. And he said, of course, I am the king. I am committed with God. I want every one of you committed as well. And everyone said, yes, we will commit our lives to God. And number four, Josiah extended an invitation to the whole people, and they brought everyone to the temple, and I can imagine the stairs of the temple and all the mall in front of the temple, open place full of people. And the Bible says that people came from everywhere, the least and the most important people were there. And Josiah made a covenant, number five, with the Lord. And everyone attending that meeting, they agreed with the covenant. So it means that Josiah not only was a man whose heart was tender to God's word, but he involved everyone at his side, the leaders and the people and everyone, and they decided to obey God because of Josiah's influence. So when we see what happened with Josiah, I like what it is written in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 23, verse 35. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength in accordance with all the law of Moses. So who was Josiah? A boy who became a king. Who was Josiah? a teenager who decided to seek God when he was only 16 years old. Who was Josiah? A young man, 20 years old, who decided to purify the land, destroy all idols, to eliminate all kinds of worship to idols and goddesses. He decided to eliminate that. Who was Josiah? Josiah was a king, 26 years old, who ordered to renovate the church. And while they renovated the church, they found the book. And they brought the book to him, and he read from the book. And he allowed the book to transform totally his mind. And he became a king that promoted the most wide and strong reformation of history. This was Josiah. When I was a kid in the church, I learned about the kid, 8 years old, king. And I love the story. And it took a while for me to understand that Josiah was not only an 8 year old king, he had a life. And during his life, he had this amazing trajectory, journey with God, with a loving perspective of somebody who is a big, strong leader who promoted reformation in the church, in his country. And this was Josiah. So I hope that you never forget that. When you think about Josiah as a whole, a boy, a teenager, a young man, and a young king decided to obey God and to do God's will. This was Josiah. Well, the story of Josiah would not be the same if he had not found the book. Our story would not be the same if we don't find the book. Our life without the book is one. With the book is a different one. So my appeal to you, stick with the book. Read the book. Obey the book. Believe the book. Even though the book tells some very weird, very different story. Like a Jonah that was swallowed by a whale or a fish. Like other stories, like Joshua and his people walking around a city and all of a sudden the wall trembling and down. So there are stories like that. The story of the creation, the story of redemption. Everything in this book is amazing. Sometimes you will be mocked by people like you say, no, you believe in these fairy tales. Yeah, but I never saw fairy tale book changing people's life from alcoholism to a sober life, to drug addiction to a free life, to violence to a loving life. So only the Bible. So the power of this book is not the words of the book, but what the book does, what the book produces in your life. Well, as a publishing ministry director, I would say books are important in our lives, isn't it? Books are important. You read from a book today. I would say that there are many people that will be reached by the Bible and by the books. And fortunately, the church produces books. And every book that is produced in our publishing houses, they are produced with the only one objective, to bring people to the Bible. When we write a book, and the book is produced by one of our publishing houses, I had the privilege to visit here a building that used to be the first publishing house, Adventist publishing house here in Australia, back in 1880-something. I forgot the date. But we went there. It's around the corner here. So how many books, pamphlets they produced? How many people they brought to church through the books produced here around the corner? Well, I don't know, but thousands. Many, many of thousands of books. In 2 years, the church distributed 55 million copies of The Great Controversy, one of the most icon, one of the icon books that belongs to Seventh-day Adventist Church. Now we are trying to distribute digital copies of the same book through Facebook, through Instagram, free distribution online for digital copies. So we are doing that little by little. And thousands of people, they are connecting and downloading the book online. So books represent a way to find Josiah. There are Josiahs around us. And we need to be the open book to them. And we need to invite them because they are seeking God. Well, this is the message I want to bring today to you. May God help us to understand the importance of the Word to our lives, the importance of God's messages written to give us light and to guide us through the way that we need to go. May God give you a prosperous and blessed new week. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the book. You have ordered people to write for us to be preserved and to be available, not only as one more book in our library, but the book that once is read transforms our thinking in our life. We need this transformation every day. We need the words. As Josiah has changed the future of Israel and Judah because of the reformation produced by the book, help us to follow the same model and to reform our living through the book. Help us to find other seekers and draw their attention to you through the book. In Jesus' name, amen.